Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 8th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We also reject revolution and stands for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Never mind the fact that we're convinced the proper role of government is legitimate, necessary, vital, critical. However, we should follow the supreme law. And we do so by using the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, this country is a blessed nation, to say the least, and there is a proper role of limited constitutional government, which we back. We support 1,000%. Those who tell you we're anti-government, they lie. We are an anti-unconstitutional government, though, I'll tell you that right now. And we befriend the Constitution. We believe in the Constitution. We believe in the Bill of Rights. We believe in the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God Almighty. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. There is no other talk show like it on the planet. We are live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. On the seventh, the Sabbath, we rest. Our websites, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, Liberty Roundtable, the name of the talk show, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, news the networks refuse to use. Our nationally syndicated radio networks, Liberty Roundtable is syndicated by Liberty News Radio. Also by Loving Liberty Radio Networks, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale. And Loving Liberty has an incredible mission statement. You should check out their website and read that, lovingliberty.net. And not only can you read the mission statement there, you can donate, which I highly recommend as well. Donations to lovingliberty.net. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in radio and in the news and the media, tell the tale, appear at events, and a whole lot more. But on that website also, you've got incredible articles, around-the-clock talk show hosts. You've also got, and this is really important, apps. Yeah, you can listen via the Android or iPhone apps, smartphone apps, if you will. And on the apps, you got live and on-demand radio. You've also got the ability to follow the Twitter feed. You've got the ability to provide feedback. You can listen to the podcasts in archive format or live. I mean, it's just pretty neat app, folks. Free, I might add. Radio, online, and on your smartphone. So check that out, lovingliberty.net. All right, without further ado, let's drill into yesterday's broadcast. It was a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday, of course. In the first hour, we had on our buddy Chris Carlson, and we talked about a discussion of all things liberty. We talked about Nazi-obsessed and Zionist Frank Luntz. The guy's a political strategist, and he advises the GOP to embrace transsexuals and COVID jabs, so trannies and the COVID jabs. And we talked about one of the, quote, leaders of the Republican Party emerging is Bruce Jenner. A lot of people like to call this guy Caitlyn because he thinks he's a woman and he, I don't know what you want to say, had... What do you call it? Mutilation surgery? I'm just not sure what to call this. I don't mean to be offensive. I don't know how to deal with it. Okay. Anyway, Bruce, a.k.a. Caitlyn Jenner, gives first interview as candidate running for governor. Tells Sean Hannity, ready to replace Gavin Newsom in California. Now, that's fine. But look, this guy pretends he's a girl, gets gender manipulation or whatever you want to call it, surgery. And then this guy literally thinks he's a girl and then wants to be the governor of one of the biggest states in the union on the Republican Party ticket. The log cabin Republicans emerge. You say, who are the log cabin Republicans, Sam? Answer, they're a group of gay and lesbian folks that have been in the Republican Party for quite some time. They kind of believe in the big tent ideology, if you will. And the problem with that is, you know, what are the morals of the Republican Party? What is the views of their? And I don't know that Caitlyn Jenner agrees with any of these things. Is it really even Caitlyn Jenner? I mean, I guess you can change your name. A lot of people do that, right? But changing your gender, can you do that? How do you in America have the ability to change your gender just by identifying as a different gender? And then getting, in my opinion, mutilation surgery. And then claiming that you're a different sex. Okay? You're born with your male-female designation, if you will, by God Almighty. I believe it's an eternal characteristic of one's eternal being. You don't just change genders. Neither do you change the pigmentation or the color of your skin. There's nothing wrong with being black or being white or being Asian or being Hispanic. Or, you know what? That's the way God made us all. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with the fact that we speak different languages. That was God's directive back at the Tower of Babel. All right. There's nothing wrong with those things. Can't we just celebrate our diversity? But you can't change who you are. You can't change the color of your skin. You can't change your height. Right? You can't change your male-female binary reality that God set forth. You can pretend it doesn't exist. You can lie to yourself. You can try to deceive others. You can even codify those laws in, or codify those lies in law. But it doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true at all, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, this person wants to lead the Republican Party. It's Bruce Jenner guy. And so I've got a problem with that, and I got a problem with this whacked out Frank Luntz guy and Bruce Jenner literally trying to Shanghai the Republican Party on multiple fronts. One is the transgender lies, but the second one is on the COVID vaccine lies. So Republican vaccine skeptics explain why they changed their minds on getting shots. Why? Because a Republican pollster, Frank Luntz, tells CNN's Jake Tapper what needs to be done to help convince conservatives or Republicans to take the shot, right? To help convince vaccine skeptics to get the coronavirus vaccine. Now, that whole article is by CNN, but this Frank Luntz guy is not only a rock star on CNN, he's also been a rock star on Fox. Okay, this guy is behind the scenes. His whole push is, I use science and language to change views. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, except to say this guy runs all kinds of focus groups and polling, and he gets this feedback. And then what he does is he changes the language to manipulate people into believing, saying, and doing certain things based on the manipulation of language. So let's say they do a big case study and they say, you know, most people are afraid of the coronavirus vaccine because they don't believe that it's credible. So then he researches and says, well, who's the most credible people on this topic? Oh, people in white coats, people that are doctors, physicians, health experts. So then they just trot out the doctors and physicians and health experts. I took the COVID and I'm Dr. So-and-so. I believe in the COVID and I'm Dr. So-and-so. The COVID is safe and effective. The COVID vaccine is safe and effective. I've administered it to 5,000 people and no one's been harmed yet. Everybody's good. Our research, we've been, and they manipulate the data and tell lies. So they say, don't worry about these mRNA vaccines. They're fine. We've been working with these things for quite some time now. That's true. But what's not true is that working with that for some time now has been successful the whole time. That's what they make you believe. When they've done these studies on animals, they've failed, and had all kinds of tragedy and death and destruction and illness related thereto. In other words, the history has plenty of misfires if you study history. But the reality is they kind of go, we've been studying this thing and working with this for quite some time. This might be a new vaccine, that's true, but the technology behind it we've worked on for quite some time now. That illustrates that it's safe and effective and that they've been working with it. It's all okay and it's on the up and up. Yes, they've been working with it for a long time. That's true. But what's not true is making that kind of a claim and leaving out the backstory. And then catapulting that backstory that's left out with all kinds of misery and failure behind it, and misfires and failings and everything else, leaving out that story, but claiming we've been working with this for some time, and therefore the new vaccine, which again is in just as questionable status because it's experimental, because we don't know what the long-term effects are, et cetera, et cetera. And then saying, we've been working with this for a long time, and so this technology is being used in the current safe and effective vaccine. Well, it's not safe. It's not effective. It's not even a vaccine. And the history behind it, when you say we've been working with it for a long time, is factual, but it ties this dishonest, manipulated truth to it. Then you trot out and say, hey, how do the people feel about this? What are their concerns? And then you address their concerns in a manipulative way. Hey, people trust people that are doctors and physicians and healthcare experts. Trot them out and tell the story. It's safe, it's effective, it's good, it's right. We've worked with it for a long time. And tell these half-truths to the point where you manipulate the public. This is Frank Luntz. And this is the guy that's manipulating us on gender via Bruce and the Republican Party. And then this is also the guy manipulating vaccine reality, too. This is also the guy that's manipulated words related to taxes. And he's been around for quite some time. I'm telling you, it is sinister, to say the least. But it is shocking of how manipulative these people can be. And this guy's a rock star in the Republican Party. So is Bruce Jenner. Everybody else calls him Caitlyn. I refuse. I digress. Quick pause. More news the networks refuse to use on your radio. I am Sam Bushman. This is what? Mother's Day Eve? We'll talk about that coming up too on your radio.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so I didn't get asked to the junior prom and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left and I was so mad I got out and he said, wait, your mom said to give you this. I forgot my lunch money and then I dropped it in the water and I was late for history. And so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which of course our library didn't have. So I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography, so I had to do that with my mother when I got home, and it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning, and I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew, but my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team, and you know, I'm just not gonna go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So we're involved in the recap of yesterday's broadcast. Second hour, we had Dr. Scott Bradley with us. His lifelong goal and collegiate series to match: to preserve the nation. Think about that little phrase, to preserve the nation. You got to love it. You want to learn more? FreedomsRisingSun.com is the website for Dr. Scott Bradley, with thousands of videos and a whole lot more. Weekly webinars on the Constitution, Q&As, and everything else. FreedomsRisingSun.com is the website for that. And he's our guest on Mondays and Fridays, second hour of the broadcast, as co-host commentator, if you will. All right, we also talked about Joe Biden with this statement. Americans making under $400,000 will not pay a single penny in taxes. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, Sam, come on. I mean, he just made a mistake in what he said. I know, but he makes so many mistakes in what he says that you can't trust him. How do you know when he's saying something that makes sense or legitimate or right or not, and et cetera? President Biden is known for his verbal gaffes, if you will. White House admits that it tries to get Biden to shut up. They say answering impromptu questions for the president is not something we recommend. And my response is, if you can't answer impromptu questions before the public, if you're not willing to and your staff is trying to get you to shut up, then my question would be, why? Don't you have an obligation, a duty, to answer questions to those who elected you, those whom are really your boss? And if you can't answer questions to those people, what about answering questions to other leaders, to media, to people around the world, to other heads of state, if you will, globally speaking? What about dealing with Congress? If you can't answer questions before the public or by media or journalists, can you answer questions by the House of Representatives membership or the senatorial membership? Can you answer questions or discuss things openly, transparently with the courts and the Supreme Court justices? This is a serious, serious, serious problem. But I don't really see Americans doing much about it or even caring about it, really. It doesn't seem to be an issue for them at all. And I don't really understand it. I mean, it baffles me how it's not a serious issue to the point of, you know what, we love you, Joe, but you just can't serve in America if you're the commander-in-chief. Oh, can you answer questions from military personnel, from generals and such like that, publicly, or does it have to all be private? Who can meet with the president? Who could? Okay, these questions are national security issues, big time. And these questions are fundamental issues of, can we really elect somebody that can't answer questions where the staff says shut up? And here's my question. If the president cannot answer these questions, who can? All right, the press secretary, Psaki or whatever, okay. No, the first lady. Okay, wait a minute. Why are we hearing from everybody but those who we elected? We're hearing from a bunch of appointed bureaucrats, but we can't hear from those who were elected? Something doesn't pass the smell test on this one, folks. Something isn't right. Something's rotten in Denmark, as they say. Something is amiss. Something has gone awry. Don't you think? But nobody seems to be doing much about it. I don't hear the Republicans who should be howling about this. I don't hear them really speaking up at all. In fact, their silence almost makes me believe they've got Joe's back. And I'm not here to attack Joe, right? I'm not here to try to abuse Joe. But I am here to really call a halt to that con game that there's a problem here. And can we really overlook it? Or are we putting America in peril as a result of the ignoring of this? I know it's a sensitive issue. Who wants to call this long time, supposedly heroic political leader on the carpet about this? But it's necessary. It's literally necessary to say, look, this is not an attack on Joe. This is not about Joe. This is about the presidency of the United States of America and respect to and fidelity to the oath of office. And if he's not able to cognitively fulfill that oath, then you know what? We have an obligation. It would be a dereliction of duty by all those who have the ability to speak out and not to do so, to kind of articulate the problem. It's a dereliction of duty not to do that, to not speak up. Let me give you an example. Let's say that there's a car and a drunk person rolls into the car and decides to take off. And a bunch of passengers get into the car. Let's say it's a bus and a bunch of passengers get on the bus and they just say, look, I know he's drunk. I know he shouldn't drive. I know it's not safe to do so. I know there's life and death ramifications to the actions about to be taken, but you know what? I mean, if I say something, it might make him feel bad. If I say something, you know what? This guy's respected in the community. This guy's, I don't think I should speak up because you know what? It might do damage if we speak up and stop this. It might be really embarrassing for one of the lead families in America. It might be internationally, it could have serious repercussions. We just don't dare say anything. And so the driver gets in, drunk as a skunk, and decides to take off. Now everyone's in danger in the bus, around the bus, right? And I don't see how we can just let this continue. But how many people are really speaking out as boldly as I am on this? Now, I'm not a Trump fan in every sense, but I like a lot of what Trump's done. I'm not a Biden fan in any sense, and I don't like hardly anything that Biden has done. But let's set this partisan discussion that they want to divide us into aside for a second and say, I don't know if the drunk driver of the bus is Republican or Democrat in this case, and I should not care. What I know and what I should care about is that, you know what? This person driving the bus is not safe and is breaking the law. And I need to be the one to speak up. But if I don't and everything goes wrong, to some degree, I might have blood on my hands, not to the degree of the driver, because I didn't do it, if you will. And I know I'm responsible for my own actions, but my own actions have to do with I could have done something to prevent it. I could have done something to stop it. I could have done something to heighten awareness regarding this drunk person about to drive the bus. I could have said, no, let's talk this person out of it. Look, you don't need to really drive right now. Why don't we just stay right here? Why don't we designate a different driver? Why don't we skip the bus altogether and divide up into different vehicles if there's not enough room for everybody? There are other options. There are other answers, right? So I first need to do that. And I hope some of that's been done internally by certain people, but I don't know. Because I don't have any evidence, right? But I hope so. But separate from that, you know what? I need to then, if nothing works and the illegality and the irresponsibility is about to take place, I need to heighten my concern and say, wait, we're not going to let you do this. We are going to take the keys from you if you try to persist. We are going to make sure that everybody knows we're not going to tolerate this. And we need to do those things. So you say, Sam, why are you going off on Joe so hard? Because national security is at stake. Because we the people, if we can't have the media get answers for us from the leader we've elected, or I should really phrase it, the servant we've elected, if he won't answer questions for me, then I got a problem. So now set the drunk driver story aside, or example, or anecdote aside, and let's take an anecdote of an employee where the employer, Donald Trump, was the employee, and now Joe Biden is the employee. The employee is saying, or the other employees around him, his colleagues are saying, when we get in meetings and I ask this guy questions, we're going to say to you, we don't recommend he answers you. We're going to recommend you let us answer on his behalf. And I'm saying, no, the employee that I hired is going to answer me, or else I'm going to get a different employee. We're just not going to let you answer for this guy. Either he can do his job, or no offense, but we need to find somebody who is not only qualified, but capable of carrying out the responsibilities that I've assigned to this position. See, we have responsibilities assigned to the position as President of the United States of America. It's articulated in the supreme law of our land. It's written down. It's codified. And if the President of the United States cannot live up to or carry out those mandated guidelines, then we need to find somebody else who can. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Our economic recovery from COVID hits a snag. The April jobs report released Friday disappoints economists. Less than 300,000 jobs added. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick tells USA Radio News this shows we have an uphill climb ahead as we try to recover the jobs lost during the pandemic.
We got only 266,000 jobs added on the month. That makes for an average over the past 3 months of about 500,000 jobs. We need to get back 8.4 million jobs to get restored to pre-pandemic levels. And there's still close to 10 million officially unemployed.
Black unemployment rising to almost 10%, white unemployment falling to less than 5.5%. President Biden planning to meet next week with Republican senators to discuss his infrastructure plan. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy among the participants. The White House says the meetings will help find common ground in what the plan should focus on and how to pay for it. This is USA Radio News.
Yes, do you hear that? That is the sound.
No, that is the sound of the wrecker. That is the sound of the tow truck.
That is the sound of your car stuck in the snow and the tow truck is on its
way. You know what the tow truck is coming for? The tow truck
is coming for your wallet.
That's what it's coming for. I know.
That's what it's coming for. Listen, this is Billy Gerard here, Rockstar Radio.
I have the solution.
It is called Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there. TrackGrabber.com. Winter is coming. Do not let this sound be you. Track Grabber. TRACGRABBER. Go there, get these. They are inexpensive. They will save you a fortune in the long run, and they will save you from getting stuck. Go to trackgrabber.com. Log on. Get yourself a pair. Get a pair for the family. They're easy to install, and they will get you out of the mud, the snow, the sand. They will save you from the wrecker bills. Oh, my goodness. They will pay for themselves the first time you use the
trackgrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR saves 25%. That's trackgrabber.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR.
A falling rocket heading for Earth. A Chinese rocket could enter our atmosphere as soon as today, but no one knows where. The rocket weighs 22 tons and it's falling at a speed of 18,000 miles an hour. Experts say it'll likely land in the ocean and the risk of damage to anyone on the ground is small. Preteens could soon be eligible to get the COVID vaccine. Pfizer requesting emergency use authorization to allow the vaccine to be administered to those between 12 and 15 years old. The FDA and CDC holding meetings next week to consider the EUA request. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky addresses concerns parents may have about getting their kids vaccinated.
These vaccines have been tested in hundreds, in 100,000 people in clinical trials, and in about 2,500 children, 2,300 children in the context of these trials for safety in the younger ages, the 12 to 15-year-olds.
Dr. Walensky on ABC's The View Friday. In that study, she cites some children showed side effects like pain, fever, chills, and fatigue. This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. I am Sam Bushman. It is pre-Mother's Day or Mother's Day Eve, whatever you want to call it. That's fantastic. We're going to get to that as the broadcast unfolds. I will say that I've been, you know, covering this recap longer than normal. I went off on Joe Biden just because I really believe we have a national security problem. When the president's not cognizant, doesn't have the presence or wherewithal or cognitive capabilities to answer questions from the media and from the public, they recommend against that. I have a real concern with that. And that doesn't have anything to do with Republican or Democrat or anybody or anything else. So there you have it. Now, Facebook's new Supreme Court, how the Facebook Oversight Board wields clout over bans. This is really scary, folks. They say the company has paid members of the panel, and they stress that the board is independent. But when you're a paid member of the panel, you know, and when Facebook says that they don't really have, you know, control or whatever, if the panel's independent, but then Facebook funds the board with a $130 million trust, you go, what? That's right. And so this international, it's not even the United States, international board acts like it's independent. But what you're really creating is a mirroring of the Supreme Court, if you will, on an international level. It is scary indeed for big tech to be in that kind of a position. All right, that is the recap of yesterday's show. It is still available online in detail, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell your neighbor it's free and on demand now. News the networks refuse to use, by the way, for today starts now. Happy Mother's Day to you from us, your Liberty Roundtable Live team. And there's a headline from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, one of my favorite groups, by the way. HSLDA.org is their website. All right. HSLDA.org. I'm sorry. That's the website. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Mom, in their eyes, you're a superstar. Who are we talking about? The children that are homeschooled. HSLDA.org is the website. And they say this. As a mom, you are facing unprecedented challenges. Yet, you're also touching your children's lives with beauty and grace, giving them stability as well as moments to treasure. Amen to that. And the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, HSLDA.org, has an incredible video. It's only about a minute long, celebrating mothers and motherhood. And I would play it on the radio. The problem is it doesn't really make sense on the radio because it's all, there's some sounds of kids and some music and stuff like that, but it doesn't translate well to radio. It's a visual thing. But anyway, happy Mother's Day. Mom, in their eyes, you are a superstar. So a big shout out to mothers. A huge shout out. And I don't know really what I can say about Mother's Day. Let me tell you what I mean. Mother's Day, to me, is a special day. A day to celebrate all the sacrifice. A day to acknowledge. And a day to give back. And so what are you doing for your mom on Mother's Day? So here's the interesting thing. I'm adopted. And so I've got a, in my opinion, a real mom and dad that I grew up with. And then I've got a birth mom and dad, right? And both of my mothers and both of my fathers have passed away. So I don't have a mother that I can, on this earth at least, give a hug to or acknowledge or take a picture with or bring flowers to or write a poem for or any of those kind of things. But I do have a wife, and she's the mother of my children, all eight of them. We've been married, believe it or not, for 29 years. You ready for the best part? That's 29 years today. Yeah, it's my anniversary. And we've been married for 29 years and we have eight children. And I want to tell you some things that my children have done for their mother, my wife. And, you know, one of the greatest things that a man can do for his children, ladies and gentlemen, is love their mother. Have fidelity to, appreciation for, publicly acknowledge and make sure that it's no secret that, you know what, the man loves his wife or loves their mother. It is critical for children to understand that. It creates the bond, the adhesive glue, if you will, between a man and a woman that gives children stability. And so I've always said to my kids, hey, you want to know a secret? And they'll be like, what, Dad? And I always say, I'm in love with your mother. Because I want them to know that. And at first, my wife thought it was kind of goofy. And my kids thought, whatever. But now, they say it as much or more than I do. I say it enough so that it remains true and that it's not forgotten. But my kids, I say, I got a secret for you. And they say, oh, we already know, Dad. You're in love with our mother, right? And so that's kind of been a theme in our family over the years. But there's so many things that you can do for your mother. Little things. Things that matter. See, mothers rarely need big, expensive gifts. You know what? Mom and dad have raised all the children. They can, I don't want to say buy anything they want. But you know what? By the time you get to be a parent, number one, you don't need or want too many things. And two, if you need or want something, you could probably go get it yourself. And so Mother's Day to me is about acts of kindness. It's about affection. It's about appreciation. It's about photos and memories. It's about love. And, well, oftentimes love is spelled out with actions, right? So anyway, we need to change the plugs throughout our whole home and the light switches and all this kind of stuff. The plugs and the light switches. Because they're older, and so when you plug something in, it's not tight, right? The plugs are kind of old and beat up, and when you plug something in, it's just all loose and stuff. And then everything is the wrong color for what my wife wants in our house and stuff. And so my boys called me, and they said, Dad, we want to create a surprise for Mom, and we want to go through and do all the electrical work in your house and change all these plugs and all these light switches and stuff like that, and we'll change the color, but we'll also kind of update them so they won't be loose and broken anymore. And so, you know, it's hard to surprise Mom. You know, Mom's at the center of everything regarding the home and the comings and goings of children and everything. And so it's very hard to surprise Mom. But me and my boys worked for like a month to plan it, because one boy lives, you know, 60 miles away or whatever else. And we had to plan it, and we had to get my wife out of the house so that she'd be gone, so that we could do this electrical work and all this kind of stuff, right? And this is a very personal story, but I'm telling it on Mother's Day for a reason. I want you to get personal. I want you to put some work into Mother's Day, because that work and that time demonstrates real love and real commitment. I digress. Anyways, so we worked on it, and we made up a story and got my wife out of the house with my daughter-in-law, and they went and took the grandkids somewhere and stuff like that, to see some animals and to have some fun and to go out and to do a few different things. In the meantime, we turned off the power and we worked on this, and me and my son, under the guise of going to get him a phone, we went to Home Depot and got all the parts we needed, and then we actually went and got a phone. So when I told my wife we were going to get a phone, it wasn't a lie, but I didn't tell her the quite whole story. But she learned quickly later what we were doing and exactly what had happened. And we told her the whole story and the whole thing about it. Anyway, it's a long story, but all kinds of things happened along the way that almost blew the surprise. So I had been calling an electrician to help us replace some of these plugs. And when my boys found out that, or when my boys told me they wanted to do it, I wanted to stop the electrician from coming because I felt like my boys could do it, right? And so anyway, long story short, I told my boys, yeah, let's do this thing. And so we planned a date and a time, and then the electrician just showed up on my porch, which is great. And I was about to tell the electrician that, hey, you know what, here's what we're doing for a Mother's Day, and explain the whole thing to him, because he showed up and said, hey, I've got some time now, does it work right now to do some of your electric work and stuff? Well, the second the electrician showed up, my wife showed up or came home at the same time. And so then my wife's like, oh, good for you, honey, I'm glad you got the electrician here. And so then I texted my boys, and I'm like, guys, they think this thing's off, man. And they're like, what? We can't. We've been working on it. And I said, I know. So anyway, then I finally craftily told the electrician, well, we need this and this and this done, which was completely different projects. So he gets started on that stuff, and my wife's all happy. And then I'm like, yeah, why don't you come back and do this other stuff? So we got that all done, and we avoided the electrician catastrophe, or, you know. Anyway, so we go, we get it all done. We bring back all the parts. We send my wife off. We start working on it, and it's a hard project. Details in seconds. Mother's Day gifts. Are you going to make them meaningful, ladies and gentlemen?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Now to my story. So we get my wife out of the house. We go to the Home Depot and get a bunch of switches and plugs and everything else. And we get the right colors and everything's going good. And we get my wife out of the house and we're starting to work on it. And man, things just aren't going well. We got this one three-way switch that we're stuck on because I don't think we have exactly the right pieces. Anyway, it's a long story. But suffice it to say, we're working on it, and we need parts. And so me and my daughter run to get parts, and my boys are working on this thing. And my wife's gone and oblivious of our surprise, thank heavens. And anyway, so we finally then get Chinese food because we know that, you know what, when she comes home, she's going to be hungry from et cetera. She had a big old long day and all this stuff. So she comes home, and we open the door, and the house is all dark because we're not done, and the power's off. But there's no way to prevent the surprise from being revealed now. And so my wife walks in and the house is dark and the piano's pulled out to the middle of the room and all the boys are all sweaty working on these projects and stuff. And so she walks in and we just yell, surprise. And so anyway, we tell her this story and she loved it. And the electricity's not perfect, but the boys are finishing up now over the next couple of days because there's a lot of outlets and a lot of plugs. I mean, you can't get it done in one evening. Especially when you don't have all the parts because anyway, so long story short, we have some decisions to make about how it is. And we've upgraded several of our plugs to not only be modern, but to have USB in them now as well. So it's easier to plug in different kind of devices and charge things and do all this stuff. And anyway, it was a great, great gift that my boys gave their mother. And it was a gift of love and sacrifice. I bought all the parts and they did all the work. And so it was really a gift to my wife from my boys. And me in support, if you will. And my boys are the ones that thought of it and called me and said, hey, we got this idea for Mother's Day and da 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 da. And so we went through all this stuff and it was my wife loved it because she doesn't need money per se. And we all need money, right? But she doesn't need money from her boys where they're trying to raise their own families and all that kind of stuff. But the love and the dedication and the commitment and the sacrifice that it took for them to not only think up such a unique gift for her and then to be executing that gift when the surprise is revealed. Now, the funny thing about this is then I got the chance to tell my wife the story about the electrician showing up saying, I've got time now. Do you want me to do this work? And then me thinking I was going to explain it to him, but then she shows up and I can't. And I avoid this so she doesn't find out. And then my boy was coming down. He's like, yeah, we're going to be in the area or whatever. And so I'm just like, oh, that's weird. Why? And stuff. And I pretended that I didn't know. And so my wife's like, so when you did this and you know how you go through all that. Yeah, I knew full time and I just acted like I didn't know. And yeah, we planned this and we did this. And my wife's just astounded because you know what? I've probably only been able to surprise her maybe three or four times in our whole marriage. And part of the reason for that is one, she's at the center of everything at our home and there's nothing she doesn't really know about. And I don't mind that. I include her in everything, and I want her to know about everything by nature. So I don't have any problem with that, except for it's really hard to surprise her for special days and special occasions, right? Really hard. Like, super hard. But we literally were able to surprise her. We worked on it for like a month of planning to get all the people to not tip her off, to get her out of the house, to get all the equipment that we needed to actually, you know, pull it off and surprise her. We got her. We surprised her. And it was a really great thing. But I bring this all up or whatever. You're probably bored with stories of my life and my circumstances. But I want you to think about Mother's Day, and I want you to think about gift giving, and I want you to think about love and sacrifice, because that's what the day really represents in my mind. You don't need to spend big dollars per se. Now, this is a pretty big gift, but it's something that we are going to do anyway. And not only is it a big gift, but by boys doing all this work, it saved us a lot of money. It didn't cost us more. It saved us a bunch of money. But there's things like that that you could do, homemade things. So that's my wife. I remember my mother. And whenever it would be her birthday coming up, or whenever it would be Mother's Day coming up, you know, you'd be like, hey, Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? Or what do you, you know, and she'd be like, you know what? I don't want or need anything. I know, Mom, but come on, we got to get you something. And she would say, write me a poem. Or she'd say, why don't you write me your testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why don't you write me a testimony of Jesus and your belief in and love for God Almighty? And so, you know, we'd write a testimony for her that I know God lives and that I know that he loves me. I know he answers when I pray. I know he's there and I know he cares. And I know that through him, I can be saved through the grace of Jesus Christ and his eternal sacrifice. I can be saved. And you look at that and you go, man, a mother's sacrifice is as close to any sacrifice on earth that we as individuals make. I know that even the sacrifice of a mother doesn't compare to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that comparison to suggest they're similar. I just mean that comparison in that as we follow Jesus Christ, bringing children to the earth, partnering with God, as a man and a wife procreate is one of the most sacred opportunities that a woman has, one of the greatest sacrifices in her life that she'll ever make. And so it becomes a serious commitment and a dedication from a mother to a child that I don't know that we have anything on the earth that compares to that kind of sacrifice. That kind of love, that kind of commitment, that kind of dedication. And I bring that up. So my mom would say, you know, write me a poem or, you know, give me your testimony. And so then we would try to do things for her that made her life nice and easy and more comfortable and showing that we appreciate her. Anyway, so there you have a couple of stories of my mother. That's my mother that I grew up with, Bushman, my real mother. I want to talk a little bit about my birth mother for a second also, because I didn't know her growing up. I hunted her down as an adult. I made friends with her. She's now passed away also. And I always wondered why she gave me up. And she would always just say, because I wanted to do the best for you that I could. And I wasn't in a position to be able to raise you. And I wanted you to have a great life. And so I did the best thing that I could for you. You know what? It was hard for me to give you up, put you up for adoption. But I did it because I cared. I did it because I didn't know a better way to give you something that I couldn't give you. Again, the sacrifice of having a child in the first place, then the sacrifice of giving up a child because you believe it's in the best interest of the child. Now, you can grow up and think selfishly about, oh, man, I wonder why she left me. Maybe she hates me. Maybe she doesn't care. Maybe. And sometimes that's true for sure, and that's sad. But in this case, I wondered why, but I looked her up, and that was her answer. And I didn't know if I believed her answer at the time. As a young man, I was an adult, but I was young. And I just kind of thought, you know, that sounds great. What else would you tell your kid? I hated you. Well, anyway, long story short, I'm going to tell you this very personal story because it relates to Mother's Day. And I didn't know if she was telling me the truth or if she was just kind of trying to say the thing that would make your kid feel good or whatever else. And, you know, and she thought I might never be able to know. But she told me what she told me just candidly. Hey, that's why. And I hoped it was true, but never knew. But anyway, long story short, I went to California where I was born. And in California, all the adoption records are sealed, which means you can't get them. You don't know about them at all. You can't get the details. And it takes a court order by a judge. And then they give you a list of justifiable reasons to remove the seal of the adoption records. And believe it or not, it took me years, but I literally got a hold of a judge and I literally filled out all the paperwork and I literally waited like a year and a half for it to go through all the things. It has to be sent from the county in which I was born to the county that my adoption records were created, to the headquarters of the state, or whatever you want to say, the state capital. Then they had to get the information, send the information to a judge. The judge had to review that information and decide if my case was worthy of unsealing the records, and if my justification was real and right. Okay. So it took a year and a half plus to make this happen. They've loosened some of the laws, so it was a little bit easier when I did it than it was when I was younger and tried to do it. I've tried several times, but I got it done and I got the paperwork back. And in those documents, it told about me, her love for me, and why she was giving me up. In other words, the conversations between social workers and the judge and all the people that were kind of vetting this case at the time. And everything that she told me later, 30 years later or whatever, matched what she told the court at the time. And so I just realized that, you know what, 30 years later when she told me all this stuff, she wasn't lying. She was telling the truth of true sacrifice. And then she spoke of a brother that I have, who I now know, by the way. And she explained her love for him as well. Anyway, very interesting story, very interesting sacrifice by her. And my birth mother had a lot of difficulties in life. And she struggled in many, many, many ways. But I got to know her, and she was a nice person, and I think she acted with genuine love and concern, and most importantly, she sacrificed. I mean, she could have aborted me. She didn't. She could have kept me. She didn't. But she did do the best for me that she possibly could. And I realized that, and I'm grateful for that, and I think your mother, with rare exception, ladies and gentlemen, do that for you too. Circumstances and capacity and understanding and life's experiences, it's all different for everyone. But mothers do care. And they say that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation. And you think about a phrase like that, ladies and gentlemen, and you go, wow. The power of a mother's love. The power of the sacrifice, the time, the commitment given is beyond imagination in its scope, in its gravity, in its downstream effects, and its capacity to bless all who come in contact with a mother is incalculable. And when you think of the hand that rocks the cradle rules the nation, you begin to understand that, you know what, on our mother's shoulders is the weight of the world, literally, because the next generations will only be able to carry forth the legacy they've been handed by their mothers. Now, fathers are important, and I don't mean to dismiss fathers. That's coming up in June, right? Father's Day, we'll talk about that too. But Mother's Day is so critically important, ladies and gentlemen. Make memories. Take photos. Write love notes or notes of appreciation for your spouse, for your mother, for women who are going to be prospective mothers as well. Let's not leave them out. They're no less important. But understand the commitment, the love, the sacrifice. I don't know of anything on this earth that mirrors the Savior's sacrifice as closely for mere mortals. It's not to say that it's even comparable, but it is to say, I don't know any sacrifice greater that people are engaged in immortality or on this earth. But it does show the power of love. It's the power that makes the world go round. And it's the power of love that gives us all a chance to return that love. All right, hour one in the can, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. Hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.